The top stories from the KCBS Radio Newsroom. This is the All Local.
A multi-million dollar lawsuit against the city of Oakland, filed by the family of a man killed 4 years ago by a speeding car fleeing police, has been settled. KCBS's Jennifer Hodges has the story.
27-year-old Lolo Soakai was standing at a taco truck on International Boulevard when he and several others were bowled over by a speeding car fleeing two Oakland police officers. Those officers tried to hide their role in the unauthorized chase.
This case has reignited the debate over high-speed chases and when they should be allowed.
Former prosecutor, defense attorney, and legal analyst Steve Clark.
These officers acted like this was a scene from Fast and Furious, not a legitimate police pursuit.
Now the city of Oakland has settled with Lolo's family to the tune of $17 million.
One reason this settlement was so large is after the ghost chase wreck, the officers covered up their involvement.
The city initially fought the family's lawsuit. Jennifer Hodges, KCBS.
A two-day show in honor of San Francisco's official flower, the dahlia, is happening this weekend in Golden Gate Park. KCBS's Shannon Golden has the details.
The annual Dahlia Show is a longtime tradition for the San Francisco Dahlia Society, which is celebrating its centennial this year.
In 1926, the show was held at the Palace Hotel, which is a very fancy hotel at Montgomery and Market, and we filled three ballrooms there with flowers.
These days, it's held at the County Fair Building in the park, and Society President Eric Gensler says there will be almost 130 growers showing off their best blooms.
It's like a dog show in the sense that you have the poodles and the Great Danes. We have tiny flowers and big flowers. Every flower is classified according to its size, its shape, and there are cactus ones that look spiky, ones that look like golf balls. Some have open pollen centers, others don't. And then its color.
There's even a best arrangement category. This year, they have to be inspired by San Francisco iconic landmarks.
You know, Coy Tower, the Ferry Building, and then we have something on the Golden Gate Bridge.
It's free to attend and runs both Saturday and Sunday. In Golden Gate Park, Shannon Golden, KCBS.
Most people have never built a piece of electronics. As KCBS's David Welch reports, a museum in Alameda is fixing that. One grade schooler at a time.
The California Historical Radio Society has spent more than 50 years saving radio's past. But about once a month, its museum turns into a workshop. Marketing and Partnerships Director Michael Tademan says the class builds new radios. But when they do, one tool stays in the drawer.
As fun as it would be to give a soldering iron to a five-year-old, that's not the plan.
The kits snap together, but that comes last. First, it's radio waves, circuit boards, and how radios work. Tademan says what ends up on the table isn't fancy.
Something that's, you know, akin to a Lego set. But they'll still be able to understand the concept, and it is a working FM radio.
The kits run $20, and grown-ups have to stay and build. Every kit functions, and every radio goes home. Tademan says the reaction is usually the same.
There's a lot of delight whenever, you know, they think, I made that and it works.
In Alameda, David Welch, KCBS.
A UC Santa Cruz student has been confirmed as the person who died after a car plunged off a cliff into the ocean in Santa Cruz. Happened early Thursday along Westcliff Drive, north of Steamer Lane, an iconic surf spot. One person escaped with injuries. The UC student was pulled from the submerged vehicle, but died at the hospital. This week, many Bay Area students headed back to class, most with new rules about smartphone use. As KCBS's Matt Bigler reports, different districts have different rules for reining in distractions at school, and there are now calls for greater uniformity.
While Oakland Unified requires middle and high school students to magnetically seal their smartphones in yonder pouches, the rules are different in neighboring San Leandro.
Students can have their phones, they just can't use them while on campus. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. So a lot of students keep them in their pocket, some keep them in their bag.
Jeff Sloan, principal at Bancroft Middle School, doesn't think signal-blocking bags will work.
Kids are smart, and so sometimes they put an old phone in there, sometimes they find a way to cut them open.
Many school leaders are calling for less ambiguity. John Carroll, Marin County Superintendent of Schools, says their board just passed a unanimous resolution supporting a complete ban on cell phones on all campuses.
That is going out to all of our school districts across the county in the hope that they will adopt bell-to-bell smartphone bans.
Meanwhile, some state lawmakers also want to make bell-to-bell bans the policy across California. In San Leandro, Matt Bigler, KCBS.
Changes are coming to San Jose International Airport, including new routes and better food options. KCBS's Jennifer Hodges reports from SJC.
It's money that I'm willing to spend.
Then passenger on why she prefers to fly out of San Jose as opposed to San Francisco.
We try to figure it out because sometimes it can be costly.
The airport has seen passenger traffic declines, but there are times when it increases significantly. Julie Jarrett is with San Jose International.
The day following the U.S. match at Levi's Stadium marked the airport's busiest departure day of the calendar year, with nearly 21,000 departing passengers.
Delta Airlines just recently announced a new nonstop from San Jose to Austin, and the airport is making some changes in the terminal as well.
We welcomed Asian Box and Bad Egg Breakfast Bar in Terminal B, and we expanded retail offerings with Plaza de San Jose in Terminal A.
The airport remains at the top when it comes to on-time flights. At San Jose International Airport, Jennifer Hodges, KCBS.
California regulators have approved a multi-billion dollar merger that will establish the country's largest cable and internet provider. KCBS's Marky Schaefer reports the decision was made at the California Public Utilities Committee meeting in San Francisco.
The CPUC has given the green light for Charter Communications to buy Cox Communication, a $34.5 billion deal. But the clearance came after agreeing to some concessions on affordability. The FCC signed off in February after Charter rolled back some diversity, equity, and inclusion policies in line with the commission's request. To secure California's unanimous approval, the cable and broadband providers have committed to provide affordable internet plans for low-income households and maintain existing price lock commitments. Regulatory attorney with the Utility Reform Network, Alexandra Green, says TURN has concerns.
How this merger would affect competition, and we're certainly seeing general consolidation in the telecommunications industry.
California was the final state to approve the deal after 44 other states, creating the nation's largest internet and video provider by subscriber base, surpassing Comcast. Margie Schaefer, KCBS.
A local coalition handed out more than 160,000 books to Oakland kids last school year. As KCBS's David Welch reports, handing out the books is one thing. Getting them read, though, is another.
A table at Lazier Charter Academy in East Oakland is covered in brand new books, and a line of kids is deciding what to take home. Reading Everywhere program manager Julia Sen chooses every one of these titles by hand.
We don't want to just give them any books. We want to give them books that they will not want to put down.
Only one in three Oakland students read at grade level, and nothing on this table is an accident. Sen learns about a school before the box arrives, the ages, the languages at home, who the kids look up to. Then she tailors her library.
We've got books about Lionel Messi. We've got books about a blind astronomer from Puerto Rico. And then also they making sure we have some Muslim representation.
The table travels beyond elementary schools to churches, block parties, even a Warriors game. Sen says she works from one idea.
If you don't love reading, might not have read the right book.
In Oakland, David Welch, KCBS.
Youth sports are getting more expensive, so much so that experts say parents are starting to view them as transactional. KCBS's Atta Shaheen explains.
The cost of youth sports nationwide has gone up some 50% since 2019.
Paying for sports is the only way kids can be involved, which is becoming more problematic for families that don't have money.
UCSF's Dr. Nirav Pandya is a youth athlete specialist. He said many parents who pay up are hoping for a return on investment.
Some of them may feel that these kids are going to go professionally. Some feel this is their pathway to college. And certain parents feel that their kids may be able to get some NIL money as well, too.
The amount of high school student athletes that get sports scholarships for college is less than 2%.
That's the number that a lot of parents don't hear. You go to these club websites, you talk to the coach, and it seems like every single kid is going on to a scholarship, and this is the only way. And parents feel that if their kids aren't getting a scholarship, their kids are a failure. And these kids feel that pressure as well, too.
Dr. Pandya said families should focus on the intrinsic value of sports, and they can save costs through school programs and sports with less equipment to buy, like running. In San Francisco, Atta Shaheen, KCBS.
A 40-pound tortoise caused a traffic scare in Orinda. Police say the tortoise, named Bernie, escaped its enclosure and walked half a mile, slowly, eventually ending up in a lane of southbound Camino Pablo near Camino Sobrante last Sunday. Orinda police say they received several calls about Bernie interfering with traffic. Tortoise was wearing an air tag and a phone number, which allowed officers to contact the owner, who came quickly and picked Bernie up. Starting today, a much-anticipated new food hall finally opening its doors in the Presidio. KCBS's Mike DeWald reports from San Francisco, just the latest in a string of high-profile new openings in the growing neighborhood.
Sitting right next to Tunnel Tops Park, overlooking Crissy Field, with a view of the Golden Gate Bridge, the mess hall at the Presidio brings something completely different to the area. Director of Operations Nate Leonard says it's a long time coming.
I mean, I remember in, you know, way back in my 20s, you know, walking along, you know, Crissy Field and just thinking to myself, like, I would love to spend more time out here if I could grab a beer and a sandwich or something. And to be doing this here is absolutely beyond anything I could have imagined.
From a bar to a coffee shop, seafood, burgers, and Korean, Leonard says there's a taste for everyone.
We kind of took some of our favorite flavors from the city, obviously with, you know, being, you know, seafood is a big part of this town. And I mean, one of the reasons I fell in love with this city.
For those visiting the area, there's also a market with everything needed for a picnic. For people living or working here, a chance to stock up on the essentials.
I mean, there's more housing coming, more, you know, offices are getting filled every, you know, every week, I'm hearing. There's, you know, a lot of different businesses are moving into the park.
In San Francisco, Mike DeWald, KCBS.
Subscribe to the All Local wherever you get your podcasts and stream us on your smart speaker 24/7 by saying, play KCBS Radio.